This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Tana Weingartner, filling in for Lucy May. A cadre of animatronic elves may have dazzled your childhood and inspired a gift list a mile long. But for those who grew up with the elves in the windows of the Shillitoe's department store, you may have missed their absence near Fountain Square. Well, as we all know, they are back. They have been for several years and in other locations downtown and in Marymount. But who is caring for these elves and how did they get there? It's a story our next two guests are going to share. I'm joined now by Bill Spinnenweber, who owns the Shillitoe's Elves in Marymount. Thank you for being here, Bill. And thank you to Mark Trierweiler. Did I get it close? Trierweiler, who owns the Shillitoe's Elves that you can find in Over the Rhine. Thank you and welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you for inviting.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, we'll start with Bill. What are the Shillitoe's Elves?
The Shillitoe's Elves were elves that were created in 19... The display that we know that I have set up, I should say, because there were always elves before 1979. My knowledge is of the 79 ones that are the soft-faced ones.
Okay.
It started in 79, and it was just a really lovely tradition that the city really embraced, and they continued running it in through the 80s. And it was a strong childhood memory of mine, and that's kind of what drew me into being part of it.
Okay, and then Mark, do you have older elves?
The generation of elves that Bill and I have are the last iteration of the elves from the Shillitoe's Landmark store that's up at 7th and Race.
Okay.
And when Macy's moved down to their Fountain Square location in 1997, they didn't have room for the elves down there. Did you ever see the elves, Tana?
I just texted my mom, actually, to ask her, because that would have been, like, right when I was little. She said probably, but I can't swear on a Bible. So.
Yeah. At the old Shillitoe Landmark store, the elves were always up, but they did not have Santaland open.
Mm-hmm.
After Thanksgiving, they just opened these two huge double doors, and the display was back there. So the display was never taken down. They just closed the doors at the end of the season.
Okay. Now, the elves do go back further than the 70s, though, right?
They do.
Okay.
The oldest elves, the ones that I remember as a very tiny kid, were the ones in the display windows down at Shillitoe's. And those were actually bought from Shillitoe's had a German company make those animatronics, and they were more of the hard-faced, not the soft animatronic ones that we're familiar with, but they were sort of grim fairy tale looking elves, if you know what I
mm-hmm.
mean. You know, these German elves from the 50s are the ones that and they kept using those and using those, but the guts, the mechanics and the linkages and the frameworks of the elves that Bill and I have mostly were built in 1966 from a company called the Silvestri Art Manufacturing Company up in New York.
Okay. And I guess we should mention for folks who maybe aren't from Cincinnati. So Shillitoe's was a department store, which was then later bought by Federated, which was Lazarus, which became Macy's. So that's why we're kind of throwing all of these department store names around. But that's the iteration there. So what happened? How did you come to have yours, Bill?
So I've got mine in 2005. I had gone to see the Dent Schoolhouse display. It was run by two Boy Scout troops, and they had gotten a handful of the elves, what was remaining, and they had set them up in the Dent Schoolhouse, where they usually have where they still do, a Halloween display. This was their Christmas display, and I went there in 2004, and I saw it during that season, and on the way out, I just casually mentioned that this was such a strong childhood memory of mine. If this were to ever go to sale, please let me know. And they said, well, actually, we're going to be putting it to auction next month. So I got involved in that, and I was fortunate enough to be able to purchase it, not knowing what I was going to do with it. I had to find storage for it right out of the gate and just kind of worked with it.
I think a lot of people maybe, you know, remember going to see the Shillitoe's elves and they have a connection to it, but, you know, why was it so much stronger for you that you were compelled to purchase them?
I've always been fascinated with animations. It's always been something of mine. I've always loved Disney because of how they can bring characters to life with animatronics. And I love this display because it has been with the Cincinnati for so long, and it was built by Cincinnatians for Cincinnati, and I've always been big into tradition. And this was a strong childhood memory of mine. I remember going downtown, as a lot of people did. They went to the Synergy trains, I guess. Mm-hmm. You would call them, and you would get your sugar cookie, and then you would go over, and you'd see the Shillitoe's elves, and there was a picture with Santa, and you would do some shopping, and it was a tradition of a lot of families in Cincinnati.
Yeah, people are still talking about those cookies. If you have a memory of the Shillitoe's elves, we want to hear them. You can give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. All right, Mark, how did you get yours?
Mine is a little more complicated.
Okay.
Back in 1994, Downtown Cincinnati Inc. got in touch with me about doing a new holiday display on Fountain Square, on the old Fountain Square. Mm-hmm. And we came up with this huge thing called Santa's Toy Factory, which is something that we designed and I built and did all the installation of starting in 1994. So I did that for several years down there. Actually, I ended up doing it for about half a dozen years. And in 97, when Macy's moved their store, the producer asked me if I would be interested in the Shillitoe elves. And I said, well, heck yeah. And then she said, okay, well, you need to get them out sometime within a week.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, well, that's not going to happen because I'm down here doing this installation with my crew all day. And then in the evening, I was also doing the Holiday Downtown Parade and doing all the floats for them.
Oh, wow.
And there were always these other outbuildings for Fountain Square that I was doing. So my time was all spent. But what we did do, the producer and I did arrange with Mark Stucker. Shout out to Mark Stucker. He was a guy that was doing the electrics for the holiday parade for me. And so he and his crew went in there with a rental truck one night. And I said, just fill the truck up with whatever you can, you know, whatever display and whatever elves you can. And then we'll hold on to them and I'll redesign something for next year. And that's essentially how I ended up with my share of the elves, let's say.
I guess I should ask, you know, we keep talking about you both have sets of elves. How many elves are there still around?
Go ahead, Bill. I know with the original design, it was made about 130 of the elves in 79. And Mark and I were talking just beforehand. I've got about 75 and Mark has had about 50 of them. So that would pretty much explain how it was originally designed or, you know, separated at that point.
Yeah. Did you want to add something?
Unfortunately, a lot of mine ended up going to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yes, I've heard. This is a big, like, sort of mystery.
Yeah, this
of
is
what
like a sore point with me.
Oh, no.
Because I essentially co-owned these elves with Downtown Cincinnati. I mean, they were the founder of the feast, let's say, for all the holiday downtown happenings. And they were paying for all the storage fees and everything for the elves. So, you know, there was a share of ownership there. One of the assistant producers to Janet Hill, who was the main producer that I worked with, she wanted to use them for display up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I begged them, let's not do this because if they leave, we'll never see them again. And they said, well, she only wants to use them for a year or two. So unfortunately, one day they pulled up with a U-Haul truck and took a bunch of the elves with them. And nobody's been able to track them down since.
Well, maybe they're enjoying or delighting children in Fort Wayne still.
I'm sure they are.
Let's hope. We have somebody on the line here, Nelson. I understand that you worked at Shillitoe's. What can you tell us about your memories of the elves?
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal. The Christmas was notorious world over. So they had the train display in there and the elves and in the windows. And I wound up winning some big award for my windows, and they right when Macy's became part of the Federated conglomerate, and pretty much seemed like all the involvements with the I wound up moving to the West Coast to open that Macy's as a Federated department store. So I think I'm his name. He's a
how long,
local.
Yeah, how long did it take you to maybe put together one of the displays?
Oh, the those were everybody involved in the display department, and that was extensive at that time. I might have to give you a picture. Shillitoe's downtown at that corner, and on the 7th and 6th Street side was like a small New York. And you could think you were in New York from that area down there. It's just vast department stores and really sent all that imagery grew out of the hard to think of the names, since of course when you turn 81 years old.
Yeah, it's a lot to remember. Thank you so much for sharing those memories with us. We appreciate that, Nelson. Mark or Bill, excuse me. How long does it take you to put together your display every year?
So I do it similar to the way Shillitoe's. It's just it's permanently installed.
Oh, okay.
We leave it set up year round. We just close up, like Mark was saying, you just close the front doors and you kind of forget about it for the year. And then we start in October working with the motors and redoing any of the elves' hair. Their clothing gets cleaned. We just kind of do a once-over to make sure everything's up and going throughout October, November, and then open up.
Okay. And Mark, yours stay permanently together too, or
no,
do you have to put yours together each year?
I put them together because I actually, after Fountain Square, after I did, when they started redoing Fountain Square in 2001, I guess it was, the Santa's Toy Factory and the outbuildings where I had the interiors done so the elves could be mm-hmm. down there, you know, that all went away and they just went into my storage. And then around 2005, DCI decided they didn't want to pay for rent anymore. So everything was disseminated with. And then, of course, I retained the elves and redid a new sort of tribute display to them in 2014 for DCI, and we did that down at Crewe Tower for 3 years. Then they went dormant for a while. Then they went up to Findlay Market. Then downtown at the Foundry, the old Macy's building is now called the Foundry. And then this year they're on Upper Main Street.
And what are they doing on Upper Main?
Oh, they're doing elf stuff, of course.
What does that mean?
Well, they're doing the little work. They're two basic segments to it. There are the workshop elves, where there's the letter sorting, and then there's the wood shop and the painter and the gift wrapping area. And then there are the elves at home, the living room and the bedroom setups. And those are actually in two different locations because there wasn't one space in OTR where I could put them all together this year.
Okay.
So basically, it took me, about a week and a half to do all the installation this year. It takes a little bit different in a new space.
Sure, sure. And Bill, tell me, what are they doing in Marymount? First of all, where can people find them if they haven't been there? And what are the elves up to?
Sure. So they're in the Village of Marymount. We have them next to the Marymount La Rosa's, if you're familiar with that, and across from the hotel. It's in a storefront right on the corner. We have a couple storefront windows just to show people that we're there, and there's some animatronics taking place in those windows. But when you walk in, we have you starting just like the Santa Lana experience with the mail room, and we have the original mailbox where you can mail your letter. Due to space constraints we had, like I was saying, we have about 2,200 square feet, and the original was about 3,000. So we had some space issues. We don't have the conveyor belt system, which is a big part of the display back in, you know, in those days.
What was the conveyor belt?
You would mail your letter, and you would actually see your physical letter would come out on a conveyor belt out of the mailbox, and it would go into a scene. And it would drop into a pile of mail, which, you know, dropped into the floor. But you as a child felt like your letter actually went into the scene. You could see it. And that was one of the most amazing things of the display. I feel like it really brought kids into the display. And some of the funny stories with that is those conveyor belts, from what I was told and what I got, they were commercial conveyor belts meant to move extremely heavy stuff. Shilotes at the time allowed the designers to go into their warehouse and pull anything that was old out and reuse any of it. And there were some conveyor belts that were probably meant to move big packages. And they reused them to move these little tiny letters. So there's parts of the display, including what I've got now with the candy cane machine, that is just massive. It's practically on I-beams and huge chains, but it doesn't need to be that big, but it's what they had to work with.
Right.
But to go back to it, you start with mailing your letter. And like Mark was saying, there was some living scenes. So you would go through a living room and you would see the elves kind of enjoying themselves and the architect drawing some plans. And then you would go into the workshop where you had a wood shop. You had painting, wrapping, like Mark said. And you kind of experienced that whole part of the workshop where then you go into at the end of the display that I've got where you have the barn scene where they're loading the sleigh. And there's a warehouse scene, and then the very last one is the Santa tracking, where they're able to track Santa on his travels.
Oh, very good. Okay, and so what? Just really explain real fast. I guess I kind of glossed over this at the start. What do the elves look like? Are they have soft faces? They have hard faces?
They
describe
do.
What and how big are they?
Sure, they're about 30 inches tall. They're on platforms about 18 inches high that are the motors are all underneath that Mark was talking about were from the 60s. And the elves themselves are soft face. We're like talking to them. For people that want to understand what that is, it's like Cabbage Patch. They were all pantyhose that was stretched and stuffed and then hand stitched. And what was interesting about the elves when they were made in 79 is every elf had a different expression, a different facial feature, a different look. And the idea behind it was, from what the original folks told me, they wanted families to relate to each individual person. Like, that looks like Uncle George, or that was like Aunt Sally. And they had the motions and the animatronics set up in a way that families could relate to these elves as in, like, oh, that reminds me of our Christmas activities and what have you. So they were very unique in that way.
Do you have a particular elf that's your favorite?
I have one in the candy cane room that that is just, I think, adorable. It's one of my favorite.
Why?
He's spilling candy cane syrup, and it's just he just kind of has that look of like, oh man, like, you know, he's making a mess, and it's just one of those things. It just makes you smile, and that's one of the things which I think Mark would agree with. This whole display is just about making people smile and trying to keep this tradition alive so families can really enjoy the holidays with this tradition.
Yeah. So, Mark, do you want to add in on that? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, my favorite?
Yeah.
Probably Pete the painter, who is frantically painting with both arms to make sure he can keep up with production. Maybe I just like him because, you know, I'm a theatrical scenic designer. But I had to slow him down last year.
Was he painting too quickly?
He was painting too quickly, and he was giving himself a rotator cuff problem.
Oh, no.
Things like that. So I had to do surgery on him more than once.
How much does it take to, like, what's the upkeep on these elves?
I try to retain these from an antique perspective, mm-hmm. where I sort of try to do as little as possible to maintain that originality to them. But, you know, I check them, oil them, lubricate them every single year, of course. And a lot of the motors, these are nice old motors that they used in 66. And I also had a box of additional motors. So I've been able to switch out some of those old motors. There are a few new motors, and the linkages I've had to repair over the years a little bit as well.
Yeah. Is it hard to find replacement parts or replacement motors?
When I first got the display and started replacing motors, those motors, the model numbers still existed.
Oh.
I did try last year and this year, and they don't exist. and so I've had to buy some replacement motors, and they're not quite lined up the same, so it does involve some redoing where you might have an elf waving at you. Like 1 inch of the gear motor would make it wave behind the person. So one little inch means a lot when you're working with these mechanics. But there are still motors very similar out there.
Okay. Well, I ran out of time. Thank you both so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our guests today were Shillitoe's Elves owner Bill Spinnenweber and Mark Trierweiler. And we are so delighted that you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Tana Weingartner. Thank you so much for listening. And please tell your pets I said hello.